The epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 13. Brethren, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy, and I should know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind, charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth away. Whether prophecies shall be made void, or tongues shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now there remain faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18. At that time Jesus took unto him the 12 and said to them, Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and he shall be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this word was hid from them. And they understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass when he drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. If I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is patient. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, as I mentioned, today is Quinquagesima Sunday, but 160 years ago this very day, Our Blessed Lady came to earth to appear for the first time to St. Bernadette Subaru. And in honor of this day, which was commemorated at the Mass, I would like to speak to you today about Our Lady and St. Bernadette. When we think of Our Lady of Lourdes, we cannot help but think of St. Bernadette as well. For as one author wrote, it is to the sincerity of St. Bernadette that we owe the existence of the mighty and the miraculous Lourdes, and the universal acceptance of Our Lady of Lourdes. What the author means is that if it weren't for St. Bernadette's undeniable credibility, it's very unlikely that anyone would have taken her visions seriously. However, since St. Bernadette clearly and truthfully told what took place when Our Lady appeared to her, she led France, which at the time had suffered a great loss of faith and morals, and even the whole world, not only to Lourdes, but also in closer contact with the most blessed Virgin Mary, who then leads souls to her divine Son. Pope St. Pius X declared this to be true when he said that St. Bernadette brought the world into the closest possible touch with Christ the Savior. That is the great thing that she did, the Holy Pope said. And then he added, that is the greatest thing that anyone can do. For truly to be in union with Christ is a characteristic that is the greatest that anyone can strive to attain. Now, there are many wonderful effects that came from these visions, which began 160 years ago today. There is, of course, the miraculous spring, which has cured so many thousands over these last years. There is the magnificent cathedral built at the spot of the grotto, and the yearly processions in which thousands of people each year form in procession to honor our Blessed Lady. But the part of Our Lady of Lourdes' message which applies to us most today, especially as we approach another Lent, were the three very somber words that Our Lady ended one apparition to St. Bernadette with. Our Lady simply said, "Penance, penance, penance," as she faded out of sight. In inspiring St. Bernadette to accept a life of penance for love of God, Our Lady was teaching her a lesson that she passed on to the entire world. And it is this lesson, this necessity for penance, that little Bernadette has brought countless souls, as St. Pius X declared, into the closest possible contact with Christ our Savior. For by suffering out of love for God, we become most like to Christ and His Blessed Mother. As Lent approaches then, my dear friends, let us bear in mind that as true followers of Christ, we are called upon to suffer in a greater or lesser degree in this life, so that we may be happy with Him forever in the next. Our Lady of Lourdes said that we must have penance in our lives. We must not therefore ever think that God sends us sufferings, crosses, or trials because He no longer loves us or no longer cares about us. In fact, it's just the opposite. For those whom God truly loves, He gives lives that are most conformable to that of His divine Son and His Blessed Mother. And they lived lives of suffering, born in patience for love of God. St. Teresa of Avila one day had a vision in which our Lord Himself told her, "Know that the souls that are dearest to my Father are those that are afflicted with the greatest sufferings." And by the way, with the audacity that only the saints can have, the great St. Therese respectfully responded to our Lord, "It is no wonder, Lord, that Thou hast so few friends then." During His lifetime, our divine Savior foretold the great sufferings that He would undergo, in His upcoming passion and death especially. He told His apostles and His disciples this so that they wouldn't be surprised, as were the friends of Job when they saw Job suffering so much. The apostles and the disciples were supposed to be forewarned, as it were, to not see the sufferings of Good Friday as a scourge or as a penalty for something our Lord Himself had done. Our Lord then endured these sufferings, these torments of His passion, simply for our salvation, and to show us how much He loves His eternal Father, that He would do all He asked, and how much He loves each and every one of us. Our Lord thus sought to prepare the apostles for what was about to come, and He endured all that He had to endure so that we would know how much He loves us, and to set an example for us for how to suffer patiently the crosses of our life. St. Peter made this fact clear when he wrote, "Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example that you should follow His steps." Our Lord willed to suffer then more than anyone else has ever or will ever suffer. so for that all time men may look to him hanging upon the cross and say to themselves, he endured all that for love of me. Let me endure something for love of him. And just as he set that example during his life here on earth, so too does our Holy Mother, the Church, repeat this same pattern every year. Here on Quinquagesima Sunday, just as we are about to enter another Lent, she gives us that very gospel passage wherein our Lord foretold his passion and death. Then, throughout the next 7 weeks, she will help us relive the events of our Lord's passion and death, especially by means of the rites and ceremonies of Holy Week. And this, again, is to place before our minds and in our hearts that sterling example of our Lord of patience in time of suffering. It's extremely important for our souls, my dear friends, that we follow this exact plan of action set down for us by our Lord himself and repeated each year by the Church. We must first stop and consider his love for us, and then resolve to love him in return by patiently suffering life's trials, whether great or small. St. Paul was remarking about the necessity of following this pattern in the order that it was set down. When he spoke in today's epistle, he wrote, "If I should deliver my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." What he was saying was that despite the fact that he had the faith and that he was a great bishop of the Church and an apostle himself, even if he suffered martyrdom, that is, giving his body over to be burned, if he did this for some vain or worldly reason, it would have profited him nothing. So then, we must learn from this that it is only in doing things, in suffering crosses patiently for love of God, that we gain profit for eternity. As I mentioned, with Lent coming, for those of us ages 21 to 59, we will be obliged to follow the fast. And this we must do then with generosity and fidelity out of love for Jesus Christ. But although these laws of fast only apply to those 21 to 59, all of us in this approaching season should be moved to make little acts of self-denial in one way or another. And most of all, during the holy season of Lent, we must strive to suffer patiently, to suffer the trials and the hardships of life, the contradictions and the humiliations which we receive from others, bodily sickness, both great and small, inconveniences of any kind, and in a word, everything that we consider a cross or a trial, we must suffer for love of Christ. Let us this Lent then determine to take up our cross and follow him. During the next 40 days of Lent and every day of our lives, let us follow that example of patience in time of suffering and take to heart what our Lord has done for us. St. Francis de Sales, who is the spiritual father and the guiding saint of both the congregation of St. Pius V and the Daughters of Mary, he most beautifully wrote that all the wounds of Christ are so many mouths which preach to us that we must suffer for him. What an image this brings to mind, that the sufferings of Christ are literally crying out to us to suffer for him in return. Let his example then, and Our Lady of Lourdes' petition for penance, inspire us with a strong love and devotion, a love which will direct itself to sacrificing not only what is dear to us, but also and especially anything that is dangerous to our souls. If there is any person, place, or thing that stands between us and our love for Christ, let us look to the crucifix and beg him for the grace to overcome any attachment to such things. Let us pray to valiant saints like Saint Bernadette, who overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil, and ask them to help us be strong in our determination to let nothing come between us and our Lord. And above all, let us fly to Our Lady's protection. No one has ever followed the example of her Son as perfectly as his sorrowful mother. And no one is as powerful to help us in our quest to do the same as this same sorrowful Blessed Mother. With our efforts then and God's grace, let us keep the example of the Passion ever before our eyes, so that we may show our Lord a great love this Lent, and then happily earn for ourselves and even for our loved ones a most glorious eternity forever in heaven. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.